well. Amen. With Christ, all is well. Thank the Lord for that. Well, this morning we found out there's a God in heaven and a powerful God. We had a powerful message from Dr. Barber this morning. We're glad he's here tonight. So, Dr. Barber, God bless you now as you come and preach for us.
Thank you, Pastor. Oh, Lord, how, oh Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so may it be. I used to wonder why they called that crowd the Mountain Band, but I know now. Didn't they do a good job? And the duet, God bless you, Megan and Karen. All the music is good, you know, it honors Christ. As Dr. Norris used to say, none of this Johnny get a cap gun bigger than a rat gun, sis, bar, boom. But music that glorifies Christ. I love it. I'm glad I'm a part of it. Glad you're a part of it. I'm glad you're here tonight. And I hope it'll be a blessing from the Lord for you, a special blessing just for you. Open your... Oh, by the way, have I forgotten to tell you that when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3. As you're finding your place in the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven and is settled right here in this wonderful book. We all know it as the Bible. It's God's word. It's inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible. It's powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language, that we can read it and heed it and hide it and hold it forth to a gainsaying world. I read from 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, beginning at verse 9 and down through verse number 15. And I'll read these verses after we pause in a moment of prayer. Will you pray with me? And now, Heavenly Father, with our Bibles open, you promised that you would speak to us, that your voice would be heard throughout all the world, every country, every climate, every continent, every city, every community, every home, every heart, every life. We need thee, O God. We need thy word to guide us, to direct us, to inspire us, and to show us the way to heaven. And I pray that we would hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee, that it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And may the Holy Spirit use the word tonight as a scalpel, cutting away the excesses, burning out all the dross. Help us, I pray, now as we look into thy word and preach thy word. Give us, we pray, the power and the unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit and permission to read it. It is so holy. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. A builder buildeth a temple. He wrought it with grace and skill, pillars and groins and arches all fashioned to work his will. Men said as they saw its beauty, it shall never know decay. Great is thy skill, O builder, thy fame shall endure for a teacher builded a temple with loving and infinite care, planning each arch with patience, laying each stone with prayer. None praised her unceasing efforts. None knew of her wondrous plan. For the temple which the teacher builded was unseen by the eyes of man. Gone is the builder's temple, crumbled into the dust. Low lies each stately pillar, food for consuming dust. But the temple the teacher builded will last while ages roll, for that beautiful unseen temple is a child's immortal soul. Thank God for builders and children, you bus people, you Sunday school teachers, you master club teachers, working with the little children. Don't ever take that for granted or look lightly upon it or think you've been shoved off to a lesser place. You are building for eternity. I don't know who wrote this, but I would say this about it. This poem should be written on the walls in gold of every Sunday school classroom in America. Better still, it should be in the heart of every teacher, every preacher, every parent, and every grandparent. Let me say a word to you grandparents. God bless you for taking in the little ones. Some of them have been abandoned by their own parents, and you have brought them into your home, and you're bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God bless you, grandparents. Now, to you parents, listen very carefully. You know, some parents say, well, we will not influence our children in making choices about religion. Well, if you have that mindset, I want to ask you a question. Why not? The newspapers will. The ads will. The media will. The press will. The television will. The radio will. The neighbors will. The politicians will. Why not you? God gave them to you. He didn't give them to the state. He didn't give them to some enterprise out here in the commercial world. He gave them to you, and they have become your responsibility. Teach them, train them, tutor them, read the Bible to them, read the Bible with them, pray for them, pray with them, show them the way to the cross, to Calvary, to Christ, show them the way to salvation. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What a responsibility. Every preacher and every teacher should use the words of the Apostle Paul in verses 9 and 10 as a blueprint for every message preached and every lesson taught. Why, you ask? Because we are building for eternity. Look again at verses 9 and 10. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I'm speaking to you tonight from the subject, building for eternity. I would say to you in the first place, because we are building for eternity, we must lay the proper foundation. No building is any stronger than its foundation. I remember 40 years ago, I guess it was, when they were drilling the holes to pour the concrete and the steel deep in the ground to make this building stand like it's been standing for all these years. It's on a firm foundation. I saw it. I know it is. most everybody knows that the Empire State Building rises 105 stories above the ground. But few people know that it goes 5 stories below the ground. Listen carefully. If you want one of the most meaningful, most marvelous, most mind-stretching verses in all the Bible, you don't have to look any further. It's right here in my text. Listen to what Paul declared in verse 11. Don't miss this. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled? The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Aren't you glad we got a keeper like that? He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The greatest story of foundation building ever told is told by the greatest storyteller himself, Jesus Christ. It's recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, at verse number... Here I go quoting Jesus. Oh, you know I love to quote Jesus. And I should tell you before I quote Jesus, you will not find anything like this in the works or writings of Socrates or Plato or Aristotle or Shelley or Keats or Byron or Longfellow or Rockefeller or any other fellow. It's peculiar to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Only Jesus could say this. Listen. Therefore, he said in Matthew 7:24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus continues, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't make that up. That's in the book. Jesus said that. It has to be true. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I warn you, my friend, the foundation of sand will not withstand the storms of life that you'll be bombarded by on the way to eternity. May I get personal? What kind of foundation are you building your life on? The sands of pleasure, money, fortune, fame, popularity, science, education, philosophy. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, that's wood, hay, and stubble. That's not going to stand the storm. The winds are going to blow. The rain is going to descend. The floods are coming. And if you're built on sand, it's all over for you. I make bold to tell you the only sure foundation is the solid rock, Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground. It's sinking sand. I know I've told you this story, and you've heard it from other preachers too. I never will forget we'd be going home from church when I was a kid, and my mother would say to my daddy, "Rob, you told that story just 2 weeks ago." And my daddy said, "Well, that's all right. I love to tell it. I love to hear it. But I'm going to tell you. There was once this man, this street preacher in Ireland, preaching away on the solid rock on the street corner in Ireland. Across the street was a heckler. And the heckler interrupted the preacher by saying, "Hey, preacher man, what do you know about the shamrock?" The old preacher man just kept on preaching. "Hey, preacher man, what do you know about the third time, "Hey, preacher man, what do you know about the shamrock?" The old man threw his shoulders back, lifted his head up in his voice, and said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the rocks are shamrocks." Thank God for the solid rock. We're built upon it. We're resting upon it. We live upon it. We die upon it. Look over the horizon, my friend. The storm clouds are gathering. You best have an anchor that will hold. Now, I see in the second place, only got 33 of these, so just sit back and... No, I'm just kidding. Because we are building for eternity, we must use the right kind of materials. Sometimes a builder will cut corners and build a house with inferior materials. Some of you have had that done in your own life. You know the consequences. Sagging ceiling, cracked walls, bulging floors, leaking roofs. It all comes with inferior materials. Wood, hay, stubble. Now, you young people, can I say a word to you? Be careful what you build your life upon. Listen, don't choose some television celebrity or Hollywood star or sports figure as your model, as your prototype, as the one after whom you pattern. Listen, look around in this congregation. There are enough godly men and women for every young person in this house to find one that they could follow and they could pattern their life after. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil years come not, days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, "I have no pleasure in them." Arise, O youth of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Young people, build your life on the solid rock. Pick out somebody in this congregation, a godly man, a godly woman. And you godly men and godly women, talk to the youth pastor and let him give you somebody that you can take into your arms and into your heart and into your life so that you can be a pattern for them. Don't wait for them to come to you. Hello? I'm speaking to you older folks now. Get over there and get one of those young people. Bring them into your heart, into your home, into your life. Somebody better do that, because many of them don't have the parents to do it or the grandparents to do it. They're depending on the youth pastor and the senior pastor. They need you. Don't let them down. I recommend the following building materials for your life, and I want to tell you right up front that all these materials are guaranteed by the manufacturer to outlast time and endure for eternity. The building material number one is the brick of God's Word. All flesh, remember what Peter said, is his grass. All the glory of man the flower, as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. 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 The word of God endures. J. Vernon McGee, who was a great preacher of yesteryear, said about the Bible, "Know it in your head, stow it in your heart, show it in your life, sow it in the world." Wish I'd have thought of that. That's good. We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with a truth eternal and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone, I expect to live it and prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I'll plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. You know what Jesus said about it? Here I go quoting Jesus already. I've quoted him several times today. I never get tired of quoting him. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Simple enough, isn't it? True enough, isn't it? Good enough, isn't it? Second material, the mortar of dedication. You know, when you get bricks, you have to have some mortar with it. And Paul wrote in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing of your mind. Listen to what Jesus has to say. Fill your mind with good thoughts, with the Word of God, with Scripture. Then I see there's the plaster of prayer. Jesus, here I go, quoting Jesus again. He said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. That suggests to me if we don't pray, we're going to faint. Is that simple enough? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. James said in James 4:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer makes the darkest cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Then I see the hammer of hope. You don't build much without a hammer, you know. By the way, I've got 7 hammers in my home. I don't know what I'm doing with them. I never use them, but I love to look at them. Hammer of hope. Paul wrote, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Paul wrote, the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, our hope's not coming from the White House or the State House or the Courthouse or the Schoolhouse or the Warehouse or your house or my house. It's coming from the book, from Jesus. By the way, we need to have a house cleaning in Washington. I mean, we've got guys that are sitting up there raking the cream off the top of the barrel, and we are paying their salaries, and they're doing nothing about it from the White House down. If you don't like that, take it up with the pastor. He told me to say, no, I'm just kidding. I'm telling you, folks, our country is in trouble. We do need a house cleaning. We do need some men of backbone, courage, integrity, and honesty in government. God help us. Then there comes the nails of faith. Nails. You know, you hit the wrong nail once in a while. Nails of faith. You know what? Hey, I'm going to quote Jesus again. Listen. He said, Four words: have faith in God. Someone asked Dr. Lee Robinson at the close of his life, 97 years old, Dr. Robinson, what would you do if you had to live your life and ministry over? He said, I would have more faith. Someone asked Dr. Norris that same question. He said, I'd study the Bible more, I'd pray more, I'd win more souls. What are you going to say when you come down to the end of your life? Suppose somebody comes up to you before this night is over and asks you, what are you doing with your life? What are you building on? What kind of heritage did you receive, and what do you hope to leave behind? It's all important. Then there comes the measuring stick of love. We measure everything by love. You know what Jesus, here I go quoting Jesus again. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you go to church on Sunday night. That's not what he said. If you go to church on Wednesday, that's not what he said. If you bring your tithes and all, I think he said, no, he didn't say that. But he did say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You know, we're brothers in the Lord. Sisters too. God bless the sisters. But we are in the same family. And we ought to love one another. Then comes the power source. You can't do anything without a power source. You know, you get the drill and start drilling, but it's not going to drill until you plug it in. And you're not going to get much drilling done in your Christian life until you get plugged in. I'm talking about getting plugged into the Holy Spirit, because God said, by the way, I love to quote God as well. In Zechariah 4:6, God said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. By my Spirit. Now, I can assure you of this. Listen very carefully. If you build your life using these materials, I promise you, you will have peace in the time of war. You will have comfort in the time of sorrow. You will have strength in the time of weakness. You will have light in the time of... And here's a capstone. You will have assurance in the time of death. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You can say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How do you like that? Preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm going to the third thing now, and I'll be through. We're building, because we're building for eternity, we must keep our eyes on the goal. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me when I say it. We are not misguided vagrants strolling aimlessly along on a sin-cursed planet. We are militant pilgrims marching to a better world. And we're saying with Abraham, we're looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. When I was growing up in my dad's church, we had a barbershop quartet. Hello. Three barber boys, one barber girl. Barbershop quartet. And our favorite song was, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm ready to say with Paul, and I hope I mean this with all of my heart, Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Our goal is heaven, and nothing else will satisfy. No more garlic and onions, but angel food cakes smeared with peanut butter. What would heaven be without peanut butter? My heavenly home is bright and fair, nor pain nor death shall enter there. Its glittering towers the sun outshine, that heavenly mansion shall be mine. And by the way, if you get there before I do, look for me. I'm coming too. I remember, among others in my dad's church, there was a lady named Holly, Sister Holly. Sister Holly was as broad as she was tall. We didn't have the programs to go by. Now, we're going to sing this next time. We're going to do it. No. My dad would just get up and say, "Well, Sister Holly, stand up and sing for us." And she would get everything straightened out. My warfare soon be ended. My race is almost run. My warfare soon be ended. And I am going home. Old man Pete Arnold, you remember him. "I'm going home to die no more, to die no more. I'm going home to die no more." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm headed for heaven as sure as the sun comes up in the east. In 2 days from now, I'll be 82 years old. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I know I don't look it, but if you got it, flaunt it. 2 days, 82. I've been saved 71 years. And the way grows dearer and heaven gets nearer every day. You know why? I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. I praise the Lord I ever found this way. When this old world's on fire, you may know I've gone up higher, for I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Heads are bowed, altars open, invitation has begun. Would you please not fail to hear what I'm going to say next? The best place I know to get God's attention is at the altar of prayer. You may be here tonight without Christ. I would admonish you. Don't wait any longer. Make the choice tonight. Trust the Savior now. "Come now, let us reason together," saith the Lord. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isn't that wonderful? You can't get any whiter than that. White as snow. Oh, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit. I invite you to come tonight if God is speaking to you. Some of you young people, hear me now with your heads bowed. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you to make a speech. I'm just going to say to you, if you feel the need of dedicating or rededicating your life to Christ and following the right person and going in the right path and building on the right foundation, and you need help to do that, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. Just step out of your seat. Don't wait. Just step out of your seat. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, step out of your seat. Trust Him tonight. Parents, listen to me. Grandparents, listen to me. If God is speaking to your heart, you have a need in your life. You want to rebuild. Maybe you started out building on sand, but it's now time to build on the rock. Would you just step out like these folks have done over here? Like these folks have done over here? And just say, "Yes, I want to build on the rock. I want to commit my life to Jesus." Father, I ask that you would help us tonight for these that have already come and others that we believe may yet come. I pray that you would give us all the courage, the dedication, the commitment, the strength, the wisdom, the counsel. Help us to build for eternity as we build for Christ. In His name I pray and ask it with thanksgiving. While our heads are still bowed, we have the music. God bless you, my brother.